You ready for the titles, then, Greg?
You know how this works, Greg? Remember how that works? Yeah.
Not at all.
Way too long.
All right, do it.
I'll do this now. I can't remember. All right, I'll go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 526 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is May 12th, 2019. A happy Mother's Day to all of those mothers in the U.S. And I am your host today, Greg DeLacy, gamertag OC underscore Murphy's Law. Yes, that's right. You heard that correctly. I am back, folks. On the podcast today, we have the lovely, ever so charming, Mr. Robin Tate.
I had no idea which one of us you were going to talk to there, because generally that would not be the way you would describe me, Greg. hello, it's Robin here from Northern Ireland. I'm here, and I'm just chilling and relaxing and not moving too much. And Greg's driving the ship tonight. Greg, you know, I hope you're not too rusty this evening. It must be at least 6 shows since you were on last. You've been having a life. Yeah? See? He's embarrassed.
Oh, no. I have been having life. Life has interjected its way into the podcast realm. But this is the beauty, Robin. This is the beauty of us having a large and capable crew. Our cult allows us to swap out hosts as needed, to have disc spinners as needed. Although today we do have the Mr. Reliable, Mr. Trusty, Mr. Almost Here Always, except for when he wants to play games, Mr. Mark Wright.
Hello, Greg. Hello, everyone. Yes, Mark Connick's on all the platforms and Twitter. Yeah, I'm back again spinning the decks. But you can spin the decks now, Greg. You've got your mixer finally set up.
I do have the mixer finally set up. Yeah.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Favors playing sound effects now.
I was going to rib you about that for a few seconds there, about, you know, I know you bought all this equipment like 6 months ago and, you know, you haven't even set it up.
Here's the best part. So I get my mixing board set up, right? It's on my desk now. It's all squared away. My wife comes in and looks and she's like, "When'd you get that?" And I'm like, "I've had this for like 6 months."
Yeah.
It's my desk. And she's like, "Oh, shit." So, yeah.
Yeah. No, that would be my answer to Judith about, "When did you get that?" And I'm like, "Oh, an old thing. You bought it secondhand. Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah. How much was it? Oh, a third less than what it really was, you know?" So, one of those. But very good. I look forward to you spinning the decks. I look forward to seeing the stressed look on your face when you go, "I shouldn't touch those buttons. I can't. Yes. Which one now?"
No, I do need to do a little bit of organizing. So, like, I've seen Mark's mixer set up. He's got everything labeled properly. He's got little tags for everything. That is not the case for mine. It's a bit of a guesswork sometimes, where I'm like, which
I gotta say, it's almost fire and forget.
So I think I've got it set up to be easily replicated. It's just every once in a while when I start things up, my computer likes to default me to my webcam as opposed to my mic stand.
Yeah.
So, but other than that,
you know, look, I broke.
Yeah. But I think the bigger challenge, obviously, is OBS. That's something I have not touched.
Sorry, this is a bit behind the curtains, people. But yeah, there's a learning curve there. And the most stressful thing is not the board, which I always thought it would be, getting it set up. And once it's set up, it's done. Mark's video was fantastic. But the OBS thing, when you're doing than having to cut and slice windows and someone drops. Then someone drops the call or they don't arrive on time. Then you'll appreciate what it means to have 20 minutes to half an hour before the show starts to get everything done.
People jumping on Skype at the last minute is... Whoever's spinning the decks, it's a nightmare because you've got to resize all the cams, get them in the right position, and you've got to do that before the sort of like showtime start time. But
but you'll be fine, no problem to you.
Hey, you know, speaking of getting off track, you know, we have completely gotten off track. I do want to also welcome to the show Excommunicado as a missing person. Kim was supposed to be on the show, unfortunately, there was a little kitty problem on her end, so Kim bowed out graciously. Kim, we are thinking of you, and nothing but the best. So,
my neighbor's on a holiday in America.
This is random. Okay.
My boss has just gone to Florida this week.
It might have been him, Kim. It might have been him.
Yes. That was like so over my head.
Oh, that was deep.
Anyway. Hey, if you are still listening to us, thank you, first of all. We are every week broadcasting Sundays, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, and 3 p.m. on the Central time zone. We are on Twitch.tv. We are on Mixer.com. We are on YouTube.com. All you have to do is type in one of those lovely channels, then /OC Podcast. You will find us. If you refuse to watch anything and you say, I only want to listen to things on audio, on VHS, Betamax, tape, replay, cassette decks, 8-tracks, whatever it is, you can find the audio-only version on iTunes, on Stitcher, pretty much any place you can find your podcast. And then you just rip it right onto an 8-track tape, slap that bad boy in, and there you go.
Right off into the sunset, listen to us. Just a side note on that. Normally, we're really, really quick at getting the show out. We normally get the show out within an hour after the recording. I've got an early start tomorrow, so I won't be putting the show out until tomorrow afternoon. So,
what?
I know. So, unless one of you guys want to do it.
Tomorrow afternoon sounds great.
Yeah.
It'll still be days before the Veteran Games comes out.
They are getting a wee bit better, God bless our souls.
Yeah, it's a day earlier.
Mark, what I'm actually hearing for the record is you want to play PUBG after the podcast.
No, I actually have an early start tomorrow.
Really not what I wanted to hear.
What do you call an early start, Mark?
Well, for me, I have to be at work for 8. Normally, I don't start while 11.
Okay.
Early start.
Yeah, my boss is away and one of the other mechanics is off, so I've got to work at another depot tomorrow. Nightmare.
Imagine having to be at work for 8 o'clock.
I don't know. I'm not used to it. I like my late nights and lines. Got used to starting at 11 a.m.
Wow. Full.
Hey, want to shout out to hello, it's me 55277 and Tamaric Pelius. Cheers to both of you for following us. Urban Big P also on Podbean app following us. So cheers to everybody there. Again, if you find us and you like what you hear, give us a follow. Give us a review, whatever the case may be. Hang out. Have fun. Let's get into some story time.
Hooray, it's story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
All right. Let's see. Robin, I'm actually going to start with you.
Oh, my God. Are you ready? Strap yourself in.
I am, because there's multiple stories here that intrigue me that okay, let's face it. I poked a lot of fun at you on numerous levels here.
Yeah. No. Okay, well, let's start. So earlier on this year, as you know, my family, we keep chickens. We have chickens. We love fresh eggs in the mornings. And then on St. Patrick's Day, funny enough, we had the St. Patrick's Day massacre when a badger stroke fox got in and killed the remaining chickens, and all our chickens were gone. Very sad day. No more eggs. In fact, I've hardly had any eggs. I would have loved to start the day with a boiled egg, and it just hasn't been the same. So over at Bank Holiday weekend, last weekend, I after a period of mourning, we felt that we could move on and get some new chickens. And we secured the place they stay in with extra wire and underneath, and there's no bloody way anything's getting in there, okay? Unless they have a fox with a welding gun. So I contacted the guy we got our chickens off, John, okay, remember, John, and said, look, we'll come out some night this week and pick some chickens. So we went and we done that. Anyway, I brought one of the lads with me, and on the way there, about little village beside us, I stopped to get some cash. And in this petrol station, this forecourt, it's an old-fashioned country petrol station, and there's actually a gentleman, an elderly, older man there that serves your petrol. He'll put the petrol in. That's the way it used to be. So as I'm going into the shop to the ATM, there was a whole pile of cardboard boxes outside the shop, and I went, oh, do you mind if I take one of those boxes? Because it was a nice big box, put the chickens in it. And he says, yeah, yeah, no problem. He says, I said to him, he says, look, I'm going to get some chickens. Oh, you're a chicken fella. Boys and dears, that's great. Do you know there's a poultry fair on Wednesdays in Brosheen, and there's another one on in Ballymena on Fridays, and on Saturdays we're at Nuts Corner. Now, isn't that great? Where are you getting your chickens from? I says, it's a guy up near Armoy, which is about 20 miles away. His name's John. John from Armoy. That would be Hens and Huts.
Small world, him a chicken world, isn't it?
Yeah, living in the countryside, and these Ballymena folk, oh, goodness. So anyway, that's exactly who he was talking about, this guy 20 miles away. So anyway, we got our chickens. We got them back. They're in. They're still a bit shy, but hopefully over the next week, we'll start to get some eggs again. So that was chickens done. We're happy with chickens.
We're happy with the chicken so far. By the way, yes. To date, mm-hmm. fourth chicken not penetrated yet.
What? I haven't penetrated a chicken.
No. Your fortress of solitude for your chickens.
They're still alive and in peace.
Still unpenetrable, still doing its job. That's what I'm getting.
It's funny, we were out for a little walk there this afternoon, and we've seen a badger on the side of the road, dead. So, I feel sorry for that.
Like it, badger.
So, yesterday morning, on a weekend, Judith and I would get up quite early in the mornings. And we would get up before the kids, and we'd go downstairs and have a cup of coffee. And it's a wee special time for us. Just coffee, quiet, an hour before it gets crazy here. And usually what happens, we go into the big room, the big screen's down, and I end up flicking through YouTube and looking through silly stuff. You know, just random, as you do with YouTube. And yesterday morning, lovely day it was here, came across this guy just randomly called BMX Caden. That's BMX Caiden. Like, Caden is a wee bloke. He's about 10 or 11 years old. And we watched a video of him and his mate at his fantastic house. Must be all into BMXs in a big way, because he had all loads of ramps and kicks and turns, and they were jumping all over the place. And it was brilliant, and it was fun. It was a great, great YouTube video. In fact, we followed him. So Judah said, do you know what, Robin? Get the kids outside. Wouldn't that be great if we could get some of those ramps? That's your job for today.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
This all was Judith.
Yes.
This was her suggestion, what is about to unfold.
Yes.
Okay.
So.
Sorry, I'm going to totally derail, but back up.
Yeah.
Leading up to all of this, this entire time, Robin, I thought this was your I'm going to use the word brilliant.
Middle age crisis.
Very brilliant brainchild idea. That this was, yeah, okay.
So I go onto the internet and look for plans for ramps and kicks and turns and how to build these things. And I jump in the Jeep, go to the get the trailer on, and go to the timber, the lumber yard. Now, the lumber yard itself, you go out the back to the lumber yard, and nothing is priced. So right. So I wanted three sheets of plywood, inch thick, and one half and a quarter of an inch thick to make a turn, and some 4x2s or 2x4s or whatever. So I'm starting to ask this guy, right, in the yellow vest, this right. is the stuff I want. And I say 2x4s. And he says, you not mean 4x2s? Hang on, yeah. I says, look, I need some of this plywood. What thickness do you want? And this is basic grade, and this is high grade, and this is medium grade. Fuck's sake. And hang on, I'm sorry, I don't have the vocabulary for you. Because I could see he was getting annoyed with me that I just, you know, I didn't speak his language. I'm a stupid punter that doesn't know Saturday punter, not a builder through the week. Anyway, so I get three big sheets of that, and two sheets of that, and six of these things, and a pack of screws. And I go up to the counter, and the man goes tap, 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 and he's tapping away on the computer, tap, 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 and it goes on for flicking like a minute.
Right.
And he goes, £204, please.
Oh, wow.
And okay, here's my card.
Wood's not cheap.
Jesus Christ. So I come home.
There's a big market in reclaimed wood.
I get the jigsaw out and the saws and the measuring tape, and I make several different ramps.
Wait a minute. Okay, real quick.
Yes.
How big were these sheets of plywood you bought? I'm struggling right now with 204 pounds for three sheets of plywood, a box of screws.
2.4 meters, which is what in real your money? Two, four, not divided by 30. Isn't that right? No. Divided by 300 because I'm doing it in millimeters. 8 feet by 5 feet. Yeah.
No.
8 feet by 5 feet, and one was 3/4 inch, and two of them were three of them were 3/4 inch thick, and then the thinner one to bend. Expensive. Medium grade. Anyway, get it home, get the jigsaw out and the saws, start to measure, make these ramps. And the ramps are brilliant. You know, one of them sort of is about 2 feet high and has a run up to it, and you jump off and has sides. I'm going to pick up some. I'm going down to my head office tomorrow, and I'm going to pick up some catering wheels because they're quite heavy, and I'm going to screw them on so they can transport them away. I made a flat deck one and a smaller baby ramp as well, so they can put them all together and do different things. So the kids then get on the bikes, and away they go, and I jump it from the drive into the garden, so it's a nice soft landing, and the 2 feet high one, even though it's only 2 feet high, is pretty scary when you're 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, 13 years old. You know, that was pretty scary. So I grab Charlie's BMX and show them how to do it. And of course, once, cool, twice, cool, three times, cool. And then we jack one of them up a bit. And it's only me and Charlie, the other ones are away. And on the fourth time, I go cock over tit over arse. I whack my head against the ground so hard I heard cracks. I hit my shoulder so hard it moves into my lungs. I have cuts and bruises. I rip the bicycle along my right hand leg around my knee. It's swollen and cut to shreds. Down around my ankle there's a 6-inch cut. I stand up and Charlie's going, Dad, are you okay? Are you okay? And I go, yeah, I'm fine. No problem. Just the grays. Just the flesh wound. No problem. And I
collapse.
Sort of get up. Judith then is at the sunroom window, beating the window, going, what the hell are you doing? As I'm probably lying with my head up and half upside down, ragdoll physics, and an absolute mess. I walk away, and I swear to God, are you okay? I'm okay. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just going to go back and do some more work. So I walk right around the house and into the garage, and I walk around the corner of the garage and slide the door over and come into this room and go, last night, I usually sleep on I sleep on my left hand side, and I couldn't. I had to sleep facing Judith. This is the way we end up sleeping. I went to bed with 3 nighttime Advil, which I brought from the States, to knock myself out. And I've been popping drugs all day today. I am so sore. I feel like I've been in a car accident. I was concussed.
You can't shake it off like you can a kid, can you?
I have. Were you wearing a helmet by chance?
No. And of course, Charlie said, Dad, you should be wearing a helmet. Let them go on the bikes without a helmet. And there's me, you know, yes, I raced motocross for years and years and years. That, you know, not a problem, but just stupid. Right. Yes. So, I'm lucky to be here.
No kidding. I mean, that could have been serious. I mean, no joke. I mean, jokes aside.
Before that, I had taken some slow-mo video of Charlie and put it up on WhatsApp and crew. Yeah. And he had come down on the bar and, ouch, balls. Yes, yeah. That also happened to me. And even to this day, there's residual ballage going on down there. I am, yes. And Judith said, no, you're never allowed on a BMX again. You're 50 years old. What are you like? I went, I hope I'm doing this when I'm 70.
Yeah. So. No, fair enough.
Anyway, so yes, that happened. That happened. So right. I'm an expert in BMX ramps, and I will go over it again. I will.
Need to curtail the expert part of that comment.
No, it wasn't the ramp's fault. It was the idiot on the bike. It was his fault.
All right. Okay.
Come on. Greg, when you're here in October,
I know.
The ramp challenge.
In October, I'm going to set fire to that ramp. Do everybody a favor.
Yeah, stupid boy. So honestly, just before I started the show, I just popped some more painkillers into me because I am destroyed myself. We went for a walk round to my sister-in-law's house today. That's about 3/4 of a mile. And Judith said, are you all right? You're a bit pale again. No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm complaining. No sympathy.
I think actually maybe we should set fire to the ramp and then jump the ramp. Nothing.
Yeah.
Or a flaming hoop.
Wrong. Flaming hoop. Let's get that in video. Greg DeLizzi. So yeah, I've had a pretty active week, busy work wise. I've got a hell of a week coming up. Next weekend's Northwest 200. My brother's over from London, and lots of other stuff going on. Just I'll finish off with London. London preparations are going on. I will say right now, this is about EGX in October. If you're thinking about coming to EGX and you're thinking about staying,
do it.
We're about to book accommodation. We're trying to book an Airbnb. I know Greg will be in London from the Wednesday, and Mike Chin will be there from the Wednesday, and we will probably have a place from Wednesday right through until Sunday. So if you're thinking about coming, you need to contact me at Bongo the Scene soon. Or please send me a quick tweet to say you're interested in coming, and then we'll start to chat through email or a phone call, because I need to get stuff booked. And I need people that are thinking about coming down and they want to stay in a big group and go to the shows together. I need to know quickly.
Robin needs to really, the realism here is Robin needs to understand how many prophylactics to buy.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for that, Robin. Always entertaining. All right, Mark, let's shift gears. Let's talk about getting older.
Yeah, it was my birthday last Wednesday.
Yeah.
Hit the ripe old age of 49.
Jesus
Christ.
Come on.
Yeah, so on the Wednesday, we didn't go on my birthday, we went on Wednesday because we get 2-for-1 tickets with me and Cap Meal things, cinema ticket things. So on Wednesday we went to see Endgame, me and Jenny.
Right.
I won't say anything about it because I didn't want anything spoiling on it, but I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I was absolutely bursting at the end for a pee, but I held through. I watched it all without a break.
Let's talk about this real quick. No spoilers. Try and keep it as spoiler-free as possible.
Yep.
Other than I personally there's two mindsets of going into Endgame. Either you completely relieve yourself to the point that there is nothing left in your body.
I tried that.
Going to the movie.
Yeah.
But the key to that is don't buy a drink.
I had one cup of tea in the morning, and that's all I have to drink all day. So I'm prepared well for it. When you get older, you see, you can't hold it as much as what you used to do when you was young.
3 hours. It's 3 hours and 20 minutes with the
adverts and, the trailers and stuff, yeah.
The trailer. So, I mean, honestly, that is borderline, like, I mean, legitimately probably too long for anybody to hold, especially if you buy a soda, you're screwed.
Yeah.
So here's my advice, my sage advice. There is a moment in the movie, and I think I talked about this before, but it basically hits and The clue to it is planning. That's all I'm going to say. When planning is happening, it's a great time to try and go pee.
Or when Captain America is in a church hall talking to people in seats around.
That's
a good bit too for us because it's fucking pointless. Yeah.
So those are your two moments. Outside of that, you're going to be hard pressed to find a good time to go. Yeah. And I say the planning part only because what you may miss if you're fast enough and you get back, you can kind of figure out what you missed. And you realize it wasn't that much.
But was one guy went for a pee quite early on, and he missed a crucial moment. So I really felt sorry for that guy. I won't say what it was. I'll tell you afterwards what bit he missed. But yeah, it didn't go. Like I completely had a media blackout on Endgame. I didn't even watch any trailers. So I had no idea what was going to happen. The storyline, I didn't expect it to go the way it went, but I loved it, and I thought. Obviously, everything's far-fetched because it's superhero shit, isn't it? But as a popcorn movie, I thought it was fantastic. I loved it. Great end to that part of that franchise. And then we're going to obviously keep going on with some other Marvel characters out. There's a new Spider-Man coming out later on this year. I'm hoping we're going to do some more Captain Marvel because I liked that movie as well.
We don't want to talk about potential future movies only because that give away who survives, who doesn't. But here, I will say this.
Well, everyone knows there's a Spider-Man coming.
Well, yeah, we know there's no Spider-Man because they've already put the trailer out there. Yeah,
so I'm not spoiling anything.
Spoilers movie industry.
Yeah. So on Thursday, on my birthday, right, so, okay, I can tie these two, in together. What?
Mark?
What?
Hold on. Back to Endgame.
All right. I know you're on a time scale, eh, Greg? Go on.
I know. But I think what's nice about the movie is the way it wraps up. It leaves future movies in the Marvel Universe open.
Yeah,
a lot of different fronts.
Yeah,
even on some characters that get their story is kind of closed out, so to speak.
Yeah,
it does leave the door open for more stories around
another chapter. Right. Yeah, you can't really say without spoiling, can you? But yep, I know exactly who you mean and what you mean. But yeah, it'd be nice that. Yeah.
I absolutely love Thor. And
I can't wait for him to see this movie.
And I really have been modeling my life on him for so many years.
I am striving for that physique. I'm just saying that right now. That's my goal.
I'm already there.
Right. Game of Thrones.
No. Hang on. Right. So, I've had a buzzing noise on my mixer for a while now, and I wasn't sure what was causing it. Now, initially, I thought it might have been my onboard sound card on my computer because it's built into the motherboard. So, I thought, cheap enough. I'll with my birthday money, I'll get a new sound card. So, I got a decent Asus sound card, and I put that came on my birthday on Wednesday. Thursday.
Sound Blaster 64? No.
No, not a creative one. No, this is an Asus Sonics. It's a really good one. So I put that in the PC on Thursday when it came. Connected it all up. Still got this horrible buzzing noise. On OBS, you can see, you know, the mic bar. It a third of the way fills up with just this buzzing noise. And I've noticed it's getting worse gradually over a while.
Right.
And it's affecting recordings. I tried to. Well, what started it off was I did. Recorded a video for the Minecraft Realm on Monday, and the sound was just shocking. All you could hear was this buzzing noise, so I couldn't put it out. So that's why I ordered a card. So yeah, so I fit the sound card, didn't cure it. Thought, oh crap, what am I going to do now? So
what was in it? What was inside it? Was it Ant-Man? Is that what the tie-in is?
Yeah. I'm tying in the birth in the buzzing. So I tried Jason's mixer just to see. And it was a lot better. It still had a bit of a buzzing, but it was a lot better. So my other mixer was less than 12 months old, so I got onto Amazon. They agreed to refund me because they didn't have any more in stock, so I've got a full refund on that. I've reordered it from another outlet. That's coming later on this week. So in the meantime, I'm using Jason's, but I still have this bit of a buzzing noise, and I still wasn't happy. So I did a bit of Googling, a bit more searching, research, and apparently these little things called ground loop isolators. Have you ever heard of them? It's like a HDMI cable, you get like a round thing on it, like a ferrite shield. They're similar to that, but they're dedicated for sound. It's just like a cylinder with a lead on, with a 3.5mm jack, and then you plug your other lead into the back of this cylinder, and it cured it completely. Completely eradicated any buzzing whatsoever.
Can I suggest that you don't bring that through the airport?
Yeah. £7 for this little thing, and I've been through all the hassle of trying to fix it. So yeah,
all right. Good. I'm glad. I am so glad you're sorted. No buzzing. Game of Thrones. Spoilers. Spoiler alert. Game of Thrones. We're talking about the last Monday's episode. Spoilers. If you don't want to hear anything about Game of Thrones, the latest stuff, just tune out for about 4 minutes, 5 minutes at the absolute tops. It is now 21:32. We will be finished by 21:36. Absolutely. Yes. So we're going to talk some Game of Thrones stuff right now. If you don't want to hear it, turn the volume down, go make a cup of tea. All right? Go and do something strange.
Unbelievable!
Starting about now, Game of Thrones spoilers! Okay. Game of Thrones this week, we all watched it, yes?
Yes.
Who the hell didn't expect that secret to be told to everybody? He is so friggin' naive. Don't tell anybody.
It sounds at all friggin' Tyrion, but Tyrion told... bloody Varys, of all people. You might as well just tie a banner to the back of a dragon and flown it around fucking King's Landing.
Yes, it was interesting episode. Lots of stuff going on there. And
okay, real quickly though, the Tyrion thing. Part of me thinks that's a calculated move. And what I mean by that is, Tyrion knows if he tells Varys, the world's going to know.
Of course.
And I think, when you watch Tyrion and Varys talking, they're talking about the queen and Daenerys and how she's starting to show some kind of signs of being not necessarily all there and under control. I think there's genuine worry, not just with Varys, because he openly says it.
Oh, he wants Jon to be... on the throne, doesn't he? He were threatening to kill him, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think Tyrion, though, also has concern, but he has sworn his allegiance. He's kind of trying to be hopeful about this, and there's a part of me that thinks maybe, just maybe, he leaked it to him on purpose because he is thinking they need to get everybody behind Jon Snow, and that it's because Dany is going the way of her father. And she kind of is. I shouldn't say she kind of is.
After how it ended, she will do.
Well, I think what they're doing is they're making us think she's going that direction. I don't know that she truly is.
Yeah, because she was always so cool and so caring.
Right.
Hard.
Right.
Always hard and tough, but caring. And it's if now that because she's helping John, she's lost control and she's out of sort of losing control and she's losing it because they look at each other very, very awkwardly. You know, it's not like they're lovey-dovey. I mean, I heard the scene when she came in and says, I love you. I mean, that was just a friggin' just trying to get around him.
I know. So, well, I mean, they look at one another awkwardly now because it's like, yep, I fucked my aunt.
Yeah, well, don't knock it till you tried it, you know. So, anyway, so that's it. Game of Thrones tomorrow night. We're stopping the chat now unless there's anything else, unless there's a coffee cup that we want to talk about or anything like that. But there's not. Anyway, Game of Thrones spoilers finished. It's safe to listen again. Let's move on.
Moving on. All right. So, I've been gone from the show for a couple of weeks. A lot of just life stuff happening. So. We got a chance to go to a Sharks game. We got a chance to go down to the Bay Area, back to my old stomping ground in San Jose, visit with some friends, go to a good friend of ours, 80th birthday. Lovely time. That is why I haven't been here, contrary to all the bullshit stories that you were throwing out there. Or some of them are true. but also, happy to announce... the newest addition to our family, I'm really excited about this. We have a brand new, lovely little bouncing S10 Galaxy phone.
Oh,
But does the speech to text still make you sound like a complete raving lunatic?
Yes, yes.
It does, yeah. Yeah.
Apparently, and I've begun to get a complex about this. And Nicole thought I had a complex about saying Japanese words. That's not it. I have a complex about saying anything into my phone because my phone apparently thinks I'm slurring my words all the time. I mean, based on what my phone outputs versus what I say into it, you would think I was like high on, codeine or something.
Garbage in, garbage out. Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But no, loving the phone. So far, so good. It's super thin. I was actually able to find a really nice thin case. Because one of the things I hate is you get these phones, and the new Samsung phones, in case anybody didn't know, almost all of them, with the exception there's a couple models that have ceramic backs to them, but they're almost all glass, which really sucks because, you know, you put it down too hard on the counter or whatever, you can chip it, you can crack it. And so you have to buy a case, and then suddenly it's like, well, that cool look and the color of your phone, all that out the door.
Yeah.
You're covering it up.
Yep.
And so I was able to find a very thin case. It's got a nice little kind of lip in the ends of it to protect the screen when you set it down. And it retains the blue that I bought. So it's got kind mm-hmm. of that blue sheen, and it looks good. So
it's rich people or stupid people carry phones without cases. Oh, that's it.
Yeah, a little bit of both. Yeah. By the way, if you buy the S10,
mm-hmm.
it actually comes out of the box. It has a screen protector on it.
All right.
The guy at the store was like, oh, well, that's just a temporary. No, it's really not. If you look at the screen protector, the stuff on the back of the phone is the temporary stuff. You peel it right off easily enough. What's on the screen actually is not temporary. It's a legitimate screen protector. So,
well, I hope you will be very happy together. I didn't get on with my S9 at all. Hello, Sarah. I didn't get on with mine at all. So that's why I'm back to my iPhone land.
That's because you're a snooty iPhoner.
No, I'm just stupid.
Yeah, I must admit, I like my iPhone. I wouldn't want to try a different one. It's what you get used to, isn't it?
Exactly. That was what I was just going to say. That is precisely what you get used to, an ecosystem, and you are then dialed into it. You're not going to, when you deviate from it, it feels foreign. And it's just that's pretty much it. I mean, that's what, you hear people talking about the Xbox dashboard versus the PS4 dashboard.
Yeah.
Don't use one or the other. Then the next time you go into that ecosystem, it's going to feel different. It's going to feel awkward because you don't know where anything is. But I, at the end of the day, I think it really is all about just getting used to the ecosystems that you're in.
It's like relationships.
Yeah. Talking of new equipment, one thing, like you say, you've got your mixer set up now. One thing I'm noticing a lot tonight, Greg, is because your mic is now going through the XLR cable into the mixer, it's a lot more sensitive, and I can hear every time you're putting something down on your desk because it's transmitting through your mic stand. Like, all I can hear is do do do.
And my phone kept on beeping and stuff. So apologies. I will try to be a little quieter. The mixer has. So I had a compressor. Power, whatever you want to call it. I forgot what they call it for the microphone, but I want to say it was only like 18 volts. Mm-hmm. The mixer is 48 volts.
Yeah.
So it's got more juice.
But you can tell it's a lot better. Your sound quality is a lot better.
I'm ready to start singing.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
No, what I am ready to do is move on to games. Let's talk about some games.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
All right. So games. I think we've covered the monthly freebies enough to this point. We don't mm-hmm. really. But, at least until next week when we get a new set of available games. Yeah. But for now, they've already been covered, so we won't do that. We will talk about what we have been playing. So, Mark, since you were the... Hey boy, fitting that we make you go. I mean, first. Yeah, we'll make you go first.
Right. Well, first of all, I'll talk about because it'll be pretty quick. Back in the day, on the 360, there was a game called Earth Defense Force.
This is not what I thought you were talking about.
No. I'm going to leave that to later because Robin's got that on as well. And I quite enjoyed it. I really liked it. It was a bit cheesy, very Japanesey, but it was good fun.
And now, it's a bit cheesy and very Japanesey.
So just recently on Games with Gold, what we've just mentioned, a 360 backward compatible game came available called Earth Defense Force Insect Armageddon, which is like one of the sequels to the game I played back in the day. So I thought, oh yeah, I can't wait to get back into this. I loved the other one with the big ants and spiders and everything and the robots. Fired it up. 3 seconds, well, not 30 seconds later, I deleted it. It was fucking awful. Absolutely shocking. It run like
what was so bad?
You can tell the graphics are so dated, but the movement was awful. The frame rate was awful. The gameplay was awful. It's just, I didn't get that nostalgia feeling I had when I played it years ago. And I didn't want to ruin that, so I just scrapped it. It was awful.
Sometimes things are best left alone.
I didn't enjoy that at all.
I mean, it looks kind of fun on screen.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure at this point this is just rail on rails, kind
of
like a.
The start of it is, but then once you get out and I'll put that back on. once you're out and you're running around and you're shooting things, the one I've got on screen, he's got a jump jet thing, but that must be later on in the game. No, it were awful. Absolutely awful.
You can tell me, Mark, as well, speaking of bad control schemes, Grand Theft Auto, Vice City, and those ones, the control schemes really weird? Like, it sort of jump from first person, third person, really weird? Because I fired it up, and it seems like it's going to take a bit of getting used to.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We have been spoiled with how things have progressed.
Yes. And this holds true for almost every game out there, because, look, when I go back and I play original Halo, especially original Halo multiplayer, I pull my hair out. I mean, it's trash. It's utter garbage. And people, I don't know who out there still thinks that's good gameplay, but we have gone so far beyond that now. So when I see that and I play something like that, I'm just reminded of just how limited we were as opposed to how great it was.
Yeah.
That makes sense. All right. So high on your list of recommendations.
No, it's awful. A game I've played today is one what Robin bought me for my birthday.
I'm very interested to hear this because I'm going to go and get it.
Yeah, it's called Old Man's Journey, and it's like a storytelling game. when I saw the title of it, I thought, oh yeah, very funny. So it's like a story of this guy, and you've got to guide him through these different areas. And he keeps coming. Every time he sits down on a bench, you get a memory, like what's on screen now. So he's remembering when he was younger. But to move across the landscape, you have to actually manipulate the terrain. So, say there's like rolling hills, you can grab your pointer, because it's like you control a hand what's on the screen, and you can move the hills up and down to make different pathways, a bit like Echo Chrome, where you manipulate it so you can walk across. It's that sort of idea, but it's on a 2D plane. I mean, you click where you want the man to walk to. There's a few little things you can visit along the way. There's an old woman in a window. You click on her, she starts ranting and raving. There's a radio you can click on. There's parts of it where you can go on a boat and go across some water and that. So if you look on the stream now, it's going to manipulate the sort of like the terrain now. And I quite enjoyed it, actually.
Nice little story. Yeah.
It only took about an hour and 10 minutes to complete. 1,000 G's. Thank you very much.
Not at all. Pleasure. Happy birthday.
That takes me to 198,000. I'm not far off 200K.
Wow.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it, actually. It's not my sort of game, but I did quite like it. And the ending is quite sad, but that's part of the story to it. And yeah, I thought it was just really sweet. Good little game, really.
Now, it's available as well on PC, of course, but it's also available on iPad, iPhone.
Well, I've also seen when I was looking for the footage on YouTube to put on the stream tonight, it's also on Switch, I believe. Some were saying Switch, a Switch version. So yeah,
there you go.
Yeah,
nice little
cool.
game.
Yeah. There's one part of it. The game's totally easy. You can, like I say, go through it in just over an hour. There is one part, if you want one of the achievements, which can be a little bit tricky. So you're sitting in a train, and the train's going along the tracks, but the track is split. So you've got to manoeuvre the landscape to get the tracks in line with each other to carry on. If a train breaks and has to slow down, then you don't get the achievement. And that took me a couple of goes to get it.
You can retry it.
Oh, yeah, you can go back in chapter select and retry it, yeah. After I finished the game, I went back and did it and got it off.
I know I was being a bit of a silly arse about because of the name. I have a bit of fun with that. But when I read about it, it actually does sound like a lovely little experience. So.
Yeah, graphically it looks like a what?
It looks like Mark on screen.
Yeah, we all get it. Having the beard's not... his beard's a lot wider. It looks like parsnip, really. So, yeah, the graphics, it's very cutesy, cartoony. The way you manipulate the landscape, I think it's really cool. So, yeah, I quite enjoyed it. So, thank you very much, Robin.
Happy birthday. Good. Glad you enjoyed it.
As usual, cracking on with Assassin's Creed Odyssey. That is never ending. I've just completed another chapter now. So, I must be getting... pretty much near the end now. I'm level 42, so not far off 50. I think it used to have a level cap of 50. I think they've upped it now with some of the DLC. So, yeah, getting there. There's nothing really more to talk about, really. I've covered most of it on previous shows. It's just more of the same stuff, really.
Let's get on to the big
yeah,
one, Mark.
Yeah, so the new thing, this exciting thing. Yeah. The latest addiction of Minecraft.
Oh, yeah.
Get some footage up. Now, we've got some footage of our realm, what I'm going to put on stream.
Yeah, so Mark has made a nice video of walking around. I think it took you like an hour and a half or an hour to walk from one
It took me an hour to walk around. Yeah, the footage, raw footage was an hour. That's how long it took to walk around all the builds and everything. Obviously, with editing and speeding up bits between and everything, it's gotten down to... I think it was 38 minutes, yeah. But yeah, it was an hour, man.
Again, amazing what people have done. I was showing some of the boys around your house and through Red Square. And then there's all of a sudden a Christmas tree, which is about a million miles high.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
There's a massive Christmas tree. There's this ball, which is about the size of, goodness, I don't know, a big universal ball thing with fire in the middle of great balls of fire.
It's called Grey Ball of Fire, yeah.
There's just so much stuff goes on all the time there. It's just, it's fabulous and amazing, the stuff that people have created. I can dip in and out, and just it's been really busy work-wise and family-wise and chicken-wise and every other way, and it's nice and quick for me to do that. Yeah. Unfortunately, Minecraft is the only thing I've played this week as well, but you've been having fun with it and doing your videos.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest thing you've seen in it?
Chinny's bit.
What's Chinny's bit?
I didn't even know it was there at first, then Tim Chopper Kelly told me where it was. Chinny's house isn't really a house, it's just a big... Do you know the Veteran Gamers logo? The guy, sort of like that. Well, he's done that in cobblestone, but a really tall one. But he's hollowed it out, so his house is actually inside himself. And he's called it the Statue of Chinity. and when you're at the spawn point, you can see it. And there's a hole in the bottom, and at the start of the video, I went, oh, that must be the sort of like chin effigy of Chin. And I said, oh, look, there's a little hole there. I wonder if that's his belly button. No. When you get inside, it says, this is Chinny's bum. I was looking out of his ass. My granddaughter had just arrived just while we were filming it. And I'm just, like, talking as I go around. So I'm doing live commentary. And I say, oh, no, I'm in Chinny's ass. And Mia turns around and says, Granddad, you can't say that word.
Oh, I was in fear. I was in fear of my life through the week. I walked through Nicole's village, and the bloody mob things were on. I hate mobs; these creatures that come at you. And I was walking past her cattle shed or horsey shed, and one of them went, tss, tss, boom, and blew up right beside me and blew the hell out of her barn. And there was dog or cats and cows going everywhere. And I'm going, oh, she's going to kill me. I'm trying to rebuild it and capture the cows back in again. And, oh, yeah. So, good fun. Yeah. I'm funny. One of the things that happened to me this week was I ran. You came over and you said hello, and you were around bidooing. And shortly after that, I had to go and sort of mine some resources because I needed some extra stuff. And I caught myself going down into the depths underneath my house, and ended up in this being lost for about an hour in this big massive cavern that just kept on going down and down and down and down. I was absolutely awesome, going, wow, look at this place. Look at this. There's lava and there's stuff. Oh, here. How do you mine gold? Do you need a special tool? Do you need iron? Oh, you need iron.
I think you need iron. If you've got stone, I don't think it works. You need iron for. that's not me. For diamonds, you need iron.
All right, okay. See, look, Greg, you could be part of this. You could be a part of our adventures, merry men.
Yes. You
know, I don't know, Brian's in here saying disco pants and haircuts.
I've just put his discotheque floor on.
Oh, yeah, his disco floor is something very special. Yeah. So I'm still having a ball. I still am addicted, again, to my house, and I'm going through it in detail and now I do a wee bit inside the house, and then I go outside and do a wee bit more to the grounds. And I think this week I built the climbing frame for the kids.
Yeah,
and
now the fences
up and other bits and pieces. I'm trying to plant the trees and the flowers where they are in real life. So I have to work on the driveway and I wanted to do the bongo wood sign up on the mountains, but I haven't had time for that yet. So, yeah, Minecraft, good fun.
I need a new project now. I've just been clearing a bit of an area where the workshop bit is and flattening that out a bit, just taking away the sort of like the mountain side. So getting a bit of resources that way as well, ready for a new build. I built a train station. Instead of that train track just stopping outside the gate,
yes.
I've built a little like train station thing.
I think Greg's going to kill himself any second now.
Looks like he's going to sneeze.
Carry. Okay, Minecraft. We're done. Minecraft spoilers finished.
Yeah, oh look, there's my lighthouse on screen. Look, I'm proud of that lighthouse.
You're more than happy to come and join the Overseas Connection realm. So please come. I don't understand why you laugh at me about realm.
We don't really. Well, we do, but it sounds really fun.
We're not letting this one go. So it's Philum and it's Realm, and there is no U in either one of those words. I don't know how you get Philum or Realm out of either of those. I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't understand how you say it either, because it doesn't make sense. Can you put those letters together? That's the noise that it makes.
We're coming up to a really sad bit on the video here.
Realm.
While I was doing this video, right, I'm walking along, and I get in this minecart in a minute, you'll see on stream, and a dolphin was stuck on the side of a beach, and it was flashing red as if it was taking damage, and it died. Flipper died.
Oh,
a dolphin murdered. Died. No, I didn't touch it. It was so sad. It's coming on now. Oh. Yeah. Look there it is. Oh, poor dolphin. And it just goes, poof, dead.
I am shaking my head at you right now, just like Judith shakes her head at me when she sees me playing Minecraft. Okay, that's enough Minecraft chat. Yeah, please come and join our realm. Please have fun with us. Yeah. Encourage Greg. Send Greg emails, please, or tweets to @OC_Murphy's Law to tell him he has to come and join the realm.
If I can figure out how to join the realm,
You haven't played it properly. You haven't got stuck into it. There's so much depth to it.
I believe you. I truly, truly believe both of you. And I get it. There's something to it, and people like it. Just not for me. Never has. But I tried. I have it. I bought it.
Yeah, I know you bought it. You press ganged into buying it.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, old man? I mean, Mark.
No, that's it for me.
All right.
And me.
And you. And that means... So, Trials Rising, PUBG, I'm not going to talk about either one of those. Those have been staples of my playing, kind of nonstop. Well, however,
actually, PUBG, it's first time I've played. We played together, didn't we, Greg? It's first time I've played for quite a while now, a good 2 or 3 months. And I have to say, it did seem a bit smoother, and it did run really well, and I really enjoyed it.
They have made a lot of changes, and it seems like they've ironed out a lot of it. It definitely runs smooth on the X. I don't know if it runs smooth on the regular Xbox or not. I know that they have options now for frame rate versus graphics. Mm. And I played on the graphics setting. I think you do as well.
Yeah.
I didn't have any problems.
I played on frame rate setting, me.
Oh, I've been on the graphics setting. I decided I like that better. I don't really have an issue with, the frame rate to me was the occasional hitch. It never was something that really bothered me too much. Yeah. I do love the new parachute mechanics because it feels very natural.
Yeah. You do tend to drop more, don't you?
You do drop a lot faster.
Yeah.
Before, you could really, depending upon where you jump, you could pretty much hit almost any point in the map. Now it feels like those real far, far jumps are going to be really hard to get to. And that's just because of the way the mechanics work. But it's more natural now. And so as you're floating down, there's a better animation to the character on screen. Yeah. So it's a nice touch. It's a nice touch. Also, audio-wise, I don't know if you've listened to it or not, but there's some different audible parachute sounds, if you will. PUBG. I still love PUBG. It's still one of my go-tos for Battle Royale. I'm definitely looking to get more matches in as we go into the coming week. But the big game that I finished, Hellblade Senshu's Sacrifice. Yeah. I love this game. I wish I had finished it and played through it earlier.
I've had a wall with it, Greg. A wall. I've got too far, and I actually find it quite difficult in places.
There were a couple puzzles that I did. I freely admit I went to a walkthrough and that was mostly just because I was in the mode to finish it, so I didn't want to get hung up too long. Most of the puzzles are visual puzzles. For those wondering, what kind of puzzles present themselves, usually what it boils down to is you will get to a gate. It will give you some kind of shape that's embedded in the gate, and you have to then go out into the previous area you were at and match that shape up to something in the environment. And it can be anything from branches crisscrossing one another to form the shape. It can be shadows from something else. So one of the puzzles, and I completely missed it, but the shadow being cast by the building onto the wall and the interior was the actual shape. And so so it's not super hard, but they can be challenging because, sometimes it's not totally obvious on what that shape.
No, I actually, one of the bosses, there was like a fire demon guy that you had to fight.
Right.
Fire boss. And you were in this like this quite tight sort of foresty circle bit. I find that quite difficult.
Yeah.
Am I old? Am I crap?
There were a couple fights in the game that they get into a little bit of close quarters in the arena that you're fighting in. Mm-hmm. Can't really escape, and it can make for challenge for sure. Mm-hmm. And that's just because the camera sometimes gets too tight based on where you try to escape your character to, and suddenly the camera gets a little wonky and it can throw you off. But for the most part, the game, it's very Demon Souls in that you're going to parry and block and attack when you have the openings.
Okay.
And one of the keys to getting the ability to open up an attack, some of the characters.
Greg, what did you do?
That wasn't me. That was you. That was you, Rob.
That's not me.
No, not me.
I don't have that sound effect.
I don't know.
Greg,
really wasn't me. Anyway,
thank you, Scott Stubby. He's found the combat on the game hard.
Yeah,
he has to lead a start this game.
It is not easy, but you can lower the difficulty to make it a little bit easier on yourself. Mm. And, you know, what I would say to this is that if you try to mash the attack buttons, you eventually are going to run into problems, especially as you get further into the game. As you get further into the game, you're going to have to master parrying, blocking, and also disrupting. And so she has the ability to kind of kick. And what that does is when you're facing, say, a character that has a shield, it will basically kind of stun them and open them up to attack. And so, you know, you can attack then, but you can't get greedy. That's the other thing that I found. You know, once you open up somebody to attack, you're like, oh, sweet, I can just go balls in.
Yeah, I know, but there was like, you got one guy and you went, yeah, I got that really hard guy. And then two or three more come from behind. It was
And that's by design. One of the things about this game, and I will say this 100%, play this game with headphones on. Play that with you know, a good stereo or, you know, 7.1 surround sound headphones on.
Definitely.
Because the sound design is such that when you are fighting in this game, yes, you will hear your psychosis.
I mean, behind you. You will.
Right.
I remember Hardly Done raving about this when it came out. And didn't the developers use something? Was it binaural audio or something? It's supposed to be one of the key elements to the game.
It is. And there are some levels later on. They're not super long, but your sight is going to be strictly very limited. And you're going to have to rely on audio cues as well as vibration from the controllers.
Ooh, vibration.
Yes. Anyway, so it was a fantastic game. The audio is top-notch. The visuals on the enhanced version look fantastic. Mm. So I highly recommend it. Feel free to set the difficulty down to easy and just power your way through.
That's how I play all my games lately.
Kind of get a lot of achievement points as is, because I don't think they penalize you for lowering the difficulty, to be perfectly honest. They want you to experience the game.
You're no good.
And it is disturbing. It is disturbing. I don't usually do horror games, and I'm not saying this is a horror game, but there are horror elements to this game.
You're a failure.
Yes, exactly. You hear this all the time as you're playing through the game. And in the middle of the night, with the lights turned down, you're just hearing this audio. It is pretty awesome. And you just saw on screen, real quickly, you just saw on screen, there are these stones that have
That round thing around it. Yeah.
Though, as you progress along, they're actually kind of easy to find. And what you'll see is as you're finding them, they activate in sequence. So if you miss one, you'll see that you missed one.
Right.
So you can go back and try and find it.
Do they power you up or anything? Or?
No, but they are part of 100 achievement points.
Okay.
But they're, like I said, it's easy for you to understand if you missed one, and they're not that difficult to find.
Yeah.
I didn't figure that out until halfway through the game. So I missed, I think.
You're stupid.
Anyway, go play the game. It's fantastic. Quality, we're going to accept theory in the future. I'm excited for the future.
Yeah, the future. Let's go.
For the record, I know that was totally Robin that did that little
All right.
What? Well, quiz.
Quiz. Yeah.
Quiz.
Quiz.
So who said it best?
All right, so I am filling in for our very own Nicole Radowski, who still is on hiatus, but providing us with these lovely quizzes. So this is the Who Said It Best quiz, which is a game of quotes. This is the Game Developer Edition, Season 2. All right.
Okay.
Let's get ready. And by the way, I heard the shenanigans of the scoring nonsense of, if I give this, I get a point. Well, then I want my point, goddammit.
How many times have you hosted, Greg?
Half a point. Half a point.
We're getting half a point for if you host. How many times have you hosted the quiz?
At least twice.
Right, okay, that's
now you've got your nice new mixing deck, you'll be able to host so much more.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to get, you know, so that's how you get your score.
Yeah. There you go. I've made it up for you. You're still beating Gary.
get your score by getting him right. Here we go. First question. Who said it best? Let's optimize for player experience rather than what we think will make money. Who said it best? Was it Dan Alderman, who is Nintendo, Axiom, Verge, and I can't read that last word, so anyway.
Oh, these are actually in-game quotes. He's a, these are what developers have said.
They're what developers
have
said.
Yeah, supposed to know that?
You know, Developers Edition?
Yeah, it went straight over. I thought it was...
All right, we'll try it again from the top. Right, Mark, talk about from game developers, okay?
I can't get to Sambo quick enough. Where is it?
Good Lord.
Fuck off.
Let's optimize player experience rather than what we think will make money. Was it Dan Adelman? Was it Cliff Bleszinski? Or was it Ron Carmel?
Ron Burgundy.
I am Groot.
So Dan Adelman came from Nintendo, Cliff Bleszinski obviously from Epic Games, Unreal Engine, and Ron Carmel came from EA Games and World of Goo, I think. I'm not anyway.
I'm going for the only one I know of. Only one I've heard of.
I need your answers in 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, they're already there.
Yeah, come on, keep up, Greg.
Hey, I have to have this on a separate screen. All right. You both said Cliff Bleszinski, and you both are dead wrong. Clearly, it is not going to be Cliff Bleszinski. It's going to be Ron Caramel or Carmel. I like caramel better.
I like salty caramel fudge.
So there we go. All right. Next up. Here we go. Who said it best? You can make an amazing game, but you can't make a success. Your players make the success. Who said it best? Was it A, Ron Carmel, B, Hermé Gelé?
He must be Ubisoft.
He's a wobbly guy.
Yeah. He also did Surgeon Simulator. Record, Surgeon Simulator. Or was it Shigeru Miyamoto? Who said it best? I need your answers in... 3.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Stick the baby on the stone. When it's done. Wipe its bump. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Right, okay.
You both went on Caramel, and you both are wrong. It is Shigeru Miyamoto.
Fuck eeny, meeny, miny, moe. It never works.
All right. Last question for the quiz. Yeah, these are challenging. I'm not going to lie. Glad I was not on this end. I'm on this end, not on that end. Nobody in this industry knows what they're doing. We just have a gut assumption. Nobody in this industry knows what they're doing. We just have a gut assumption. Who said it best?
Beat him on you.
A, Shigeru Miyamoto. Was it B, Cliff Bleszinski? Or was it C, Dan Adelman?
How the fuck are we supposed to know these?
Listen to enough developer talks.
Who said this best? I hate this fucking quiz. Was it right. A, Mark? Was it B, Mark? Was it C, Mark?
I need your answers in 3, 2...
I still get that wrong.
Yeah.
You both have said Cliff Bleszinski. Have you both not learned anything yet?
No.
No.
It is Cliff Bleszinski. Yay! Good job.
Yay! Yeah, it didn't sound Japanese enough.
No, there was a bit of ego in that statement. All right, Nicole, thank you for putting that together. I appreciate the efforts, and I appreciate the fact.
I appreciate the effort, but Jesus Christ, I was supposed to know what people said. It's hard enough doing it in game ones.
Quiz, come on. All right,
it's fun. Anyway,
let's move on to the news.
Here is the fucking news.
All right, so Rage 2 is on the precipice of being released.
Oh, it's tempting, is this game?
It is, it is. Mm. Cosmetics and events in the game are going to be free, but they are going to have paid DLC, so paid add-on DLC after launch. It's going to get two paid-on DLC packs. They're in the pipeline for one in August, which is going to be called Rise of the Ghosts, and one in November, which is yet to be named. Really nothing is known about these other than they're going to be story content.
I would say if a quite meaty story content and there's quite a few hours worth in there, it'll be worth buying. You don't have to buy them. As long as it doesn't affect the main game.
Look, if the game's crap, no one's going to buy the DLC.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, it has to be good. Or else, because if anybody wants to put coin on it, it's going to have to be good.
Oh, you just you primed yourself for that one, Robin. You were like,
he's looking at all his sound effects, thinking, "What can I make up about that one?"
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, so I agree. And look, The Witcher 3 did this brilliantly. They had the two paid expansions. Mm-hmm. They were paid.
Yeah. There was Blood and Wine, and then the other one where it was in like the French area. Can't remember what it's called.
Oh, hey ho.
Hearts of Stone.
Yes. Oh, yeah, Hearts of Stone was the first one. Blood and Wine was the second in the
Rage type of thing. The first Rage was a great game, but it was only half a game.
I enjoyed Rage when you were on foot. The car bits were a bit shit. But I've liked it.
And worst ending ever.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
The ending of Rage was like, it was setting up to like you were going to like this big encounter, and it just ends.
I like some of the enemies. Some of the enemies, like, there were some like Cockney type ones in there and stuff. Yeah, I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, I am. I already told Mark. I said this is on my radar as well. I want to see reviews first. Feeling a bit still burned over Anthem. It wasn't a horrible game, but it was not nearly as great as we had hoped. No. So we'll wait and see on Rage 2. See what the critics come back with. It looks really damn. So Sony held their State of Play this past week. So that is their Nintendo Direct, and they're promising to try and do one every month or so.
Two, right? They are.
Yep. So they
can go and do one.
And really, there wasn't a lot in this. However, there was one new game. They gave an update, by the way, for Final Fantasy VII. I don't care about it personally. I know some people are excited about it. But they did announce a new multiplayer game. It's Predator, basically. And it'll be coming to the PS4 in 2020. What we know at this point is basically it is a online multiplayer only game. The studio behind it is 3Phonic, which they're the same studio that did Friday the 13th. And honestly, and the game title in full is Predator Hunting Ground, feels very much like the same formula of Friday the 13th in that it is
four some survivors and
survivors against a predator. You know, there will be upgrades apparently that you can do with the different survivors. So there will be some kind of being able to kind of build them out a little bit, I suppose. I don't know. I think it's going to feel...
I absolutely love this. Do you know why, Greg?
I don't.
Do you know why I really love this? Because Predator reminds me of one thing. Aliens. Aliens, Predator. And that links straight to Aliens, Colonial Marines.
Yeah.
So that's why I love this. I love the Sony guys. I think they're fantastic. They're brilliant. They're not smelly like last week. This week, the Xbox people are smelly. So I love this. I can't wait. I love a bit of Predator.
I hope they've improved the game engine, though, because Friday the 13th, it was known for being janky as fuck. And that was part of the charm of it, because it was so janky. I remember Game Over Greggy, ex-IGN guy, kind of funny guy now. He was all over Friday the 13th, and he played a lot of it and streamed a lot of it, but it was so janky. And if
Sony's behind this. It is going to be an exclusive for them. So they've given them some money, more so that gets them kind of over that hump of having something too janky.
I mean, unfortunately, you know, the mouth on Predator looks like a 90-year-old's.
No. So. Don't. All right. So that's something to look forward to if you have a PlayStation 4 in 2020. Outside of that, we also got some new news about a Ghost Recon game coming this year. Ghost Recon Breakpoint was revealed. So tidbits from the event. Basically, the game is set on a remote Pacific island called Aurora. This is not a real island. This is a fictitious place, which is kind of a break from the traditional Ghost Recon games, where they've taken a real-world environment. This is, you know, they wanted to create this fake island because they wanted to have a lot of different environments within it. So it is an open world. You will be able to explore, I think it's 11 different biomes, from the jungle to the mountains to future cities. And of course, you get land, air, and sea vehicles within it as well. So very much, again, kind of in that Ghost Recon Wildlands vein. Some things they've introduced in this. One, they have actual good quality voice actors.
Not the usual cheesy Ubisoft. Come on, no, let's go. Team up.
They hired that did The Punisher. I can't remember his actual name.
Oh, yeah.
So he is the main baddie, I believe.
John Berthel. Yeah. Berthel, yeah.
So anyway, so there's story content, and it's going to be a little more story-driven. They've also introduced some injury mechanics. So you can slip and fall down slopes, and it will – and basically it can impact your stamina. It can also can injure you. So if you – hurt yourself or you get shot, you actually can break limbs and get bullet wounds too that they need to be bandaged up before you'll be able to actually properly fight. There's a buddy system, so if it is up to 4-player co-op, so if I shoot Robin in the leg, Mark, you would be able to carry him out to safety, because I wouldn't do that. I'd leave him there to die. But so that is a, you know, kind of the new mechanic they've slipped into this, and they're making it less about you going in and kicking ass and more about you being in an unknown area and kind of having to fight your way out of it. So Ghost Recon Breakpoint.
I know it's still a bit of a Tomb Raider mechanic where you roll yourself in the mud and camouflage yourself in the mud.
Here's the thing. I was hoping that they were going to come out with a new Splinter Cell game.
Here's the thing. I think they still may, but I think that's going to be a next-gen game.
Yeah, I suppose we're at that point now, aren't we? You know?
This is going to carry them over. This game is going to be on the current consoles, and the next console is going to get the new Splinter Cell. That's my prediction ahead of time, for the record. All right. Devil May Cry, the original Devil May Cry, is coming to the Nintendo Switch this summer. We don't know really anything other than the fact that it's being released on it. We don't have a release date. We don't have pricing. We just know it is coming. So there. And finally, last but certainly not least, PlayStation and Sony have finally decided that EA Access is worthwhile enough to actually offer to the customers.
Oh, so it's official now.
It is official. Right, EA Access coming to the PlayStation 4 after 5 years of them saying it was not worthy enough and given good enough value. They now feel it is a good enough value, so you can subscribe up $4.99 per month or $30 for the year, and you'll be able to access older EA titles.
How much was it on the UK for? I thought it was only 15 quid.
It's 20 quid a year. 20 quid? 20 quid a year, yeah.
So that's still more expensive.
How many dollars was it on the Xbox, Greg, for a year?
30.
All right, okay, so it's same.
All right, okay. Well, you know, that's fantastic. I'm glad to see that they've moved so quickly on this. and it is great because it is lovely if you want to dip in and out of sports games and some Battlefield games and all those.
There's a lot of good little smaller titles on there. The two Unravel games are on there. Peggle?
There are
Peggle's on there.
Good
news for Sarah, this.
Your one subscription does not carry over to all systems, so you will need to subscribe separately if you want it on PlayStation 4 and Xbox, you have to have
same, same on PC, that, yeah.
Yep.
And sadly, they don't have the backwards compatibility, so you're not going to have the stuff, you know, that...
No, you might not get Peggle.
360 stuff. Yeah. There was new Peggle.
We've got like some of the older 360 titles, haven't we, on available?
The main ones you're missing are Battlefield Bad Company.
Yeah,
1 and 2, because those are 360 titles or PS. And
the horror ones. Yeah.
Dead Space.
Yeah. Those ones. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So are they going to be doing the 10-hour free trial a week early, like on Xbox?
Yes,
of new releases, right? Yeah, that's cool.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I still think even without the backwards compatible titles,
still a good.
Yeah, it's good value.
If you play FIFA, you play Madden, but you don't need to have the newest version day one. This is a great system.
Yeah,
because
the UFC games are on there. Yeah.
Once the championship happens in that year, so, you know, basically for the NFL, once they hit the Super Bowl, they pretty much release the previous year game. Same thing with FIFA. Same thing with NHL. So, you know, as long as you don't mind playing a little delayed, you still get really good games. And you can play for that first 10 hours just to check it out. Although they do tend to limit the story stuff. So I noticed, like on Madden, the Journey Home, not this year's but last year's version, they limited how much you could play the single player. You couldn't finish the whole game,
right?
Because it was less than 10 hours. They wouldn't let.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. That's it for the news. Robin, I think you threw a question out for last.
Yeah, it was just, again, with all this Game of Thrones and Endgame stuff going on there, I sort of asked myself, you know, and I just sort of think about the most epic conclusion to a game. The thing that really stuck up and that reminded you of a game or a series of game, whether it be like Fallout or Mass Effect, stories all coming together to an end, or it could be a single game and an epic ending. And ones that are sort of stuck by you. For example, for me, some of the most memorable endings on a smaller game would be Brothers, maybe A Tale of Two Sons, yeah. When all of a sudden the controller, you realize that you are, the two brothers are with each other, and that epic moment at the end, I went, wow, this is really different. Or even on the PlayStation, on Journey, that bit of climbing up the hill towards the very end, and not that I really knew what was happening, but it just felt epic at the end of it, that I was moving on to something new and fantastic. You know, so yeah, just people out there, have a think. Let us know what stuff like. Is there something like Brothers, which is a bit odd out there?
I felt a bit like with Inside.
The chat right now, feel free to throw out some games you felt had epic finishes. We'll discuss those as well.
The biggest one in my mind, what springs to my mind all the time, is Bioshock. Just from start to finish, I was in awe over that game, and what an ending. So
I want to play it again, actually. I do. I think it deserves playing. Only played it once.
I've got the remastered on PC because it was in a Humble Bundle. Yeah,
I'm still in plastic. I bought it 2 EGXs ago and still in plastic. I mean, that especially. I think Bioshock, when they came out, I played them so quickly after the release.
Yeah.
They deserve that again.
Yeah, I got it day one because I wasn't interested in it at first. And back then, they used to release demos for nearly all games, didn't they? And the demo came out for Bioshock. And I thought, I'll give it a go. Oh God! I was hooked straight away, and that was it. Pre-order in straight away.
I remember people talking about that coming out of E3, and they were just like, "Oh my gosh, this game Bioshock is going to just kill it!" And sure enough, it did. In funny side note to that, I don't remember the ending of Bioshock, but what I vividly remember is the nurse splicer.
Yeah,
the lights go out, and you're stuck in the light. That was such a freaky moment.
Again, for me, really memorable parts of games, and maybe it's not even the end of the game, but really memorable parts of game would be in Mass Effect to the build up of getting your team together for the suicide mission or something they called it that.
I got through that. All survived on that. Yeah.
And I felt, you know, wow, I've got, you know, all together, and I actually, you know, was cheering them along. I was really invested in the game.
It's such a brilliant
game.
It's
fantastic that games can do that. So
for me, two most memorable moments in gaming for me. One, the original Halo and the Warthog as you're racing through and the roads breaking apart and stuff, trying to beat to the end. That I remember. And then also, and you just made me think of it, Robin, as we were talking about memorable moments, not necessarily ends of games, but memorable moments. Call of Duty 4.
Yeah.
When nuclear bomb goes off and you're sitting there dying, watching it go off. That was a memorable moment for me. And Call of Duty, to be honest, they've had, you know, memorable in good and bad ways.
No Russians.
Yeah. That was a mission that still gets talked about to this day.
I've just remembered another one, the end of Red Dead 1.
Yeah,
very popular stuff. Mm. Yeah. And speaking of Modern Warfare 2, there is talk now, because we're coming into Call of Duty time, that there may be a big remastered version of Modern Warfare 2, because it's the Infinity Ward is this time around, and I would be all in for that, because it hasn't been done yet, and that was what really hooked me.
Boo in the chat said Red Dead Redemption 2, the ending, pretty epic. And I totally agree.
Yeah.
It was a phenomenal ending.
And it was good because me and Greg got different endings. And then after we finished, we compared. And we watched each other's endings on YouTube. And it was really cool doing it that way.
Your choice did have an impact on
it did. Yeah. It was a different ending.
You know, and for all the wrong reasons to remember it, but Mass Effect 3, the ending, all the controversy and
I didn't mind it, me.
I didn't mind it either, but I remember it because of the controversy, because of all the stuff that happened with it, and they changed things, and it was like, holy crap. So that ending will kind of forever stick in mind, but again, not for the right reasons.
The end. I know it's only one of the episodes. I know there's five episodes, but The Walking Dead, the first season, the first episode, the end of that was quite impactful and memorable. I know what you're going to say. You're on about Ducky halfway through. That got you, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah, the kid. Yeah.
Really, just tears streaming down my face at the time. Yeah. That home way more than it should have. All right.
Send us your memorable moments, your big epic endings, the things that stand out. And please either tweet them or send us an email to podcast@ocpod.com or Twitter. We do all the emails and all the internets.
I've got SpeakPipe
at OC_podcast.
Yeah. So, cool. SpeakPipe is speakpipe.com/D_OC.
Yeah, please. It'd be lovely to hear from you.
Indeed. All right. So we do have some new releases coming out in the coming week. I'll just go ahead and bounce through them real fast. So May 11th through the 18th, we have A Plague Tale: Innocence. It's on the PS4, Xbox One, PC. I'm slightly intrigued by this title, I have to admit. It looks interesting. Third-person action game dealing with the days of the actual plague. I'm hoping it sees some success. It looks like it relies a lot on stealth mechanics and puzzle solving using the environment. And also it has a lot of rats, which I'm not so cool with. I hate rats. All right. We've got, Cytus Alpha on the Switch, May 14th, Rage 2 on the PS4, Xbox One, and PC. I think that is the big title for the week. Redout on the Switch, also on May 14th. Then moving a little bit further into the week, we've got Bubsy, Paws of Fire on PS4, Switch, and PC.
No Xbox, but it's on PC. That's weird, isn't it?
Again, every once in a while you get these weird mishmashes of where they're going to appear on.
Yeah. Mind you, I don't think it's much of a big deal. Bubsy, Paws of Fire, I don't think it's going to be a AAA title, is it?
Yeah, true. Steven Universe Save the Light and OK KO. Apparently that is a bundle of games on the Xbox One, PS4, and Switch, May 17th. No clue what this game is.
No.
All right, and that's it for the new releases. All right.
Switch is getting a lot of love, isn't
it? Well, it looks, Switch is on fire right now. It's selling tons. You know, it's the platform to love. And I think why a lot of developers probably like it because they are able to get, for the most part, most games onto it.
Yeah.
And it's a platform that I think a lot of gamers have a Switch and another platform.
Yeah.
Oh, they kind of can double dip with people. You know, if you think about it, a game like, I don't know, Madden, for you know, just off the top of my head. You know, you're going to want to play it on your big console to get all the graphics and the smooth frame rates and stuff. But then you could also maybe put it on the Switch and play it on the go. About the only thing missing right now really is for all these different platforms to be able to sync up together. And I think that would be, that's the ultimate goal, I think. If we get just cross-platform play.
Well, see, Minecraft, Minecraft, Greg.
I know. Rocket League as well, you know, but... Yeah. What I'm getting at is, you know, get more developers in on this. I think this is part of the future of our gaming. It's that Dennis Dyack one console future, by the way. The guy was genius when it came to that.
Yeah.
I don't care what people say. Anyway, all right. Let's talk about Trials Rising. Mark,
we've
got a new challenge coming up.
Yeah.
We also have one we need to talk about.
Yeah. So we've just finished. Thanks, Robin. We've just finished challenge number 10. We've got two new riders this week. We have got Scott Stubby, who is in the chat, Andrew Wells, and we've got Chubster999, Will Barclay, who is Sumu's son. So welcome to those two guys. So we've got quite a few players now on this. It's getting the competition's hotting up. This week's track was Medieval Flair, and it was, dare I say, fucking frustrating. So the top 10 riders this week are at number 10. Well, our new rider, Scott Stubby, he did it in 1:05.388. The legit Chinny, who I beat again.
Whoa.
Twice on the trot. He did it in 1:05.341. In eighth place, and I was shocked at this, Martin C, 1984.
What happened?
Yeah, he's normally up there with Greg. 103.953. In seventh place was me with 103.602. In sixth place was Greg, Murphy's Law, 1:02.699. One of the fairly recent guys who joined last week, recruited by Peachin. It's only Martin 1. He's our only PS4 player. He did it in 1:01.919.
Thanks for including him, Pete.
Sure. Right, and this is where it gets interesting. This is a bit of a shocker. In fourth place, Womble MK3 with 1:01.695 seconds. Fourth place, Womble, come on, what are you doing, man? In third place, even more of a shocker, Playing Skills, Lewis. He did it in 1:01.020. But in second place, the new kid on the block, and he's a young kid, Chubster999 did it in 1:02.63.
After we'll be engaging in age limit.
you have to be over 35.
Holy crap, look at this winning time.
Yeah, and in number one, Snoogans, Greg's favourite player, because he's always beating him. 57.916 seconds, sub 1 minute. Apparently, just before the loop-de-loop wheel, if you can bunny up onto the top of that, you can save a lot of time. And he's the only one who managed it in the Rhino. Most people can only do that on the Mantis bike, which is a later unlock. But Snoogans did it. Lewis watched his replay. He made that jump. And all credit to him. He's this week's winner. So well done to Snoogans.
Yeah, I tried making that jump so many times.
Yeah.
Finally just gave up on it.
Even that first bit was so frustrating.
Kills me even more is this morning, I said, you know what, I'm going to give it a couple more goes. And I had one run. I was beating Lewis because I was racing against Lewis.
Yeah.
Had him beat all the way up until the very end of this. There's a battering ram that you jump on.
Yeah, and it goes through the doors, yeah.
And if you're not careful, you can easily tilt your bike back.
Yeah.
Exactly. I did exactly that and fucked it up.
Yeah. I kept racing Pete's ghost. And there were loads of times I was beating him. And right at the last minute, with that massive jump with the two things what come and crush you, or on that battering ram, I'd make a mistake and I'd just over rinse, repeat. But I did it in the end.
That's funny.
Once he was so in shock that he made the loop that he fell off.
So,
I believe it.
Yeah, the next track is, in honour of our new player, Scott Stubby, and in honour of Womble, will be The True Scotsman. That is the track for this coming week, and that's using the Rhino bike again. So get your times in. You've got until Sunday, 7 p.m. If you want to take part and you're not already taking part, if you're on Xbox, send me a message and I'll get you on my friends list so I can monitor your times on the leaderboards. If you're on another platform, just send a photo or a video of your time to me on WhatsApp or Twitter at Mechanics or on our Facebook group. Good luck with the next challenge.
Very good.
And once again, though, big cheers to Snoogans.
Yeah. Very good. Unbelievable time.
Mr.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And he's another recruit by Chinny.
Do you know what, boys? Do you know what? But you know what happened this week? People finished games. They actually finished games. They weren't playing Minecraft and they weren't doing trials. They finished games. Murphy's Law finished Hellblade. Sensu's a sacrifice.
A fine looking guy.
Beautiful. Sure. He's just salt and pepper hair, bit thinning. Fantastic. Yeah. Getting smaller every week. It's like shrinking with old age. John Mouse, he gone old school.
Wow.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3. And he also finished the Division 2. Got really bored with it at the end. Dave O'Matic finished Devil May Cry 5. And Fletch, Daniel, finished Spyro the Dragon 1. And, of course, Mark Annex finished Old Man's Journey. Now, happens to those people?
Not a day over 49.
Yeah. What happens to them after they finish their games? Well, how I know about it is because they tweeted me. They went to @OC_podcast with a hashtag victory achieved. And when I get that, I retweet it and I mess with your photograph because you take a selfie with the credits in the background and I put on nice little graphics. In fact, if you look at Mark's one for Old Man's Journey,
I've
put a little shark eating his boot and I give him a set of cherries.
Because I've started doing nice little images now. I spent more time in Photoshop than I did playing the game.
Anyway, so these people get entered into a free draw for winning to win money, and we'll give you $20 or £15 to buy games on pretty much whatever flavor you want. So all you have to do is take a selfie of yourself with the credits in the background, you tweet it off, gets entered into a draw, and you can win like Sarah did a few weeks ago. So, and there's Mark's cherries. Yeah. So congratulations, everybody. You are fantastic victory achievers, and for that, you get this.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. A victory's achieved.
Okay, enough of that shit. Thank you.
And this is why we should only let one person control this.
Absolutely. What else is on here?
Bollocks.
I know him.
All right. Let's go home. Yeah, I think it's that time. We should consider leaving. So we need to talk about real fast. Big shout out to our shatters. Robin, you want to give some names, some love?
We had a few. Scott was there. Scott Subby. We got Blue Brew, Brian. We got Freddy Bot, which is Commander Root, of course, and Apricot Troop Fruit are bots. Joby Eason. Hello. Sarah, of course. And Safaka. Safaka. S1FAKA. Hello, you're in the chat. Thank you very much for joining in. It's lovely to have you in there, and it helps give us some live feedback on the show. So please join the chat.
Yes, and a special for them, they get this.
Potato!
No, God! No, God, please, no! No!
Oh, God, I feel like we're podcasting with Duke now.
That's brilliant. twitch.tv/OC podcast, mixer.com, and youtube.com. Just throw the /OC podcast. We're here every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, 6 p.m. on Easter Island, 7 a.m. in Australia. Welcome and good morning. And 3 p.m. Central. Can't forget about our Central people. We definitely want you to join up live. If you can't, that's okay. We do put up the podcast on audio, usually within hours of completing, sometimes a day, but never more than a day. Just saying. So, yeah, come check it out. Spread the word. Tell your friends. Tell everybody. Shout from the rooftops. In fact, as you're driving down the street, you should just be yelling at people saying, why aren't you listening to the Overseas Connection podcast?
Stop banging your desk, Greg.
Sorry. All right. It's not me banging in the desk, by the way. We've got clubs. We love clubs. Clubs are like the in thing, by the way. If you love clubbing, you like going out at night, this is actually not what we're talking about. We're talking about in-game clubs, the OC Podcast Club on Xbox One, the OC Podcast Community on PS4, the OC Podcast Group on Steam. And if you like Discord because you thought it was going to be the future, we have a server there called the OC Podcast Server. So get on, get in, get clubbing, hang out with us. We really do appreciate it. And we're going to play this audio clip just for you because we appreciate you so much.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this?
Oh, yeah.
Follow us on Twitter. At @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us, podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
I made you my bitch.
All right, that's it. We're done. Shout outs. Let's pass it around. I'm going to start. Mark.
A big shout out to everyone who sent birthday wishes via WhatsApp or on Facebook, etc. Thank you very much, much appreciated. And I want to shout out Kim and a pussycat. I hope the cat is okay. We don't know the details yet, but yeah, we're here for you, Kim. So, all right, okay, yeah, move on, Robin.
Okay, yes, Kim, we're very sorry about your cat getting knocked over, Yeah. Okay. Let it go. And so look, one advisory and FYI, during the show, we were talking about Endgame and superheroes, and it reminded me halfway through of a conversation we had on WhatsApp earlier this week. So this is an FYI, an advisory not to do what I'm about to tell you about our story. So we were talking about superheroes and bits and pieces, and Greg suggested, my chickens were involved, and Greg suggested about Cockman. So, as you do, I Googled Cockman superhero. And, yeah, don't do that. Just don't ever Google Cockman superhero, okay? Just don't do it. All right, finally, if you're going to EGX this year and you're staying overnight, please contact me if you want to sort of get in bed with Greg and take turns. More than happy to have you. People will be there. Well, I will be there. My son will be there. Greg will be there. Mark will be there. Yep. Mike Chin will be there. Pete Chin will be there. Jay will be there. So we are, and other people will be there as well. So
and Tank Top will be there.
Yeah. And Greg. Yeah. So if you want to come and stay, we're going to do an Airbnb in London. If you want to, I really need you to contact me as soon as possible so you can, you know, confirm up so we can get the numbers correct. So contact me at Bongo the Sane, and we'll chat more about that over the next week or two. So
currently, right now, we have room for one more as well as a half in the bath.
And Cockman.
Right, and Cockman. Cockman's always welcome, obviously. Mm-hmm. All right. Shout out to the two of you. It is fun talking to you guys. So thank you for that. Thanks for everybody in the chat. Really, really appreciate it. Love seeing Blue Baru in there. He broke his chat cherry. Love it. You know, we love the participation of the community. It's why we do this. I mean, we don't get paid for this. We're not monetizing this. We do it because, one, we're all very good friends. And two, we love our community. We have a great community of gamers. Be part of it. Take part. Get involved. It's fun. Shout out to Kim. I will say no more other than just a shout out to you. Shout out to all the moms in the U.S. because this is Mother's Day in the U.S.
We all like a good mom.
Yep. Everybody loves a good MILF. I mean, mom. So shout out to all the MILF moms out there.
Girls. Don't forget the girls.
No, we want to leave them at home. Anyway, that being said, I think we should just wrap this up with a nice little bow and say, toodles.
Oh, shit. Get out the way. Get out the way, bitch. Get out the way. Oh, bitch. Get out the way. Get out the way, bitch. Get out the way.
You don't,
done?
Can I close it now?
Yeah. Please.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.
Oh boy.
Don't talk, Bollocks.
Right, we're definitely going. I can't beat this fucking thing.